Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We are live. Justin Trudeau has a strong message to the truckers and those supporting them.
So make no mistake, the border cannot and will not remain closed. I want to remind everyone that politicians don't direct police in a democratic society, but I can assure you that the RCMP is working with provincial and local police departments to enforce the law. Everything is on the table because this unlawful activity has to end, and it will end.
All right, strong words. So everything is on the table. This reminds me of his father. Just watch me. Just watch me. He had answered to a journalist when the journalist asked him what he was willing to do against the Quebecois people. Who were in a revolt and in a desire for sovereignty, and there were terrorist actions that had started, including the kidnapping of a minister in Canada, and he had said, just watch me in terms of what I'm going to do and willing to do. But Trudeau today is a little softer, of course, a little more cocked than his father. And he says everything is on the table, but he doesn't control the police. So if he doesn't control the police, it's up to the police to decide what they're going to do with this. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Odyssey has had a refresher. There's a new interface. I find it pretty beautiful, especially in the dark mode. Personally, I'm always in dark mode. If you haven't set up the dark mode, you should in your settings if you like not to have your screens blind you. And look at this, they gave me 5 stars. I'm a 5-star creator. I am a level 5 creator. Apparently, it's how many LBC you accumulate on your channel that determines this. I don't know. Are there any higher levels, or have I attained the top level? Where would you put the 6th and 7th star? I don't know how it works. In any case, I'm happy to be featured on Odyssey. It's been really wonderful. it's been quite a change to get guests again. Yesterday we spoke with Kurt Doolittle. It's just fun. We can have fun. We can make jokes. I don't have to be worried at every single sentence. So wonderful. I love Odyssey. I hope it keeps going. I don't know. Do they have infinite resources? Is it going to happen that at some point they have too much demand for their service and eventually they won't have the resources? I don't know where they get these resources, but it's looking good. I'm super happy about it. And Ariel Suarez sends support for the show. Thank you so much. Because it's been a hit on the wallet. I do lose money being on Odyssey, but I enjoy it. Because the ad revenue on YouTube was still relatively big. And it's not been fully replaced by Odyssey enthusiasts paying super chats. But it's okay. I'm willing to take a little hit on the wallet to have fun and to also have hope that this show can grow much bigger, given that we're not blocked anymore, that we're not essentially controlled in our creative drive, because this is what YouTube was doing. I think there's a bigger future ahead. All we have to do is change minds, convince people to start using Odyssey, and it's a long process. You know, changing the habits of people on the internet is the toughest thing. But once it's done, once you make the jump, it's easy. Like when people are used to refresh their page on Odyssey to see what's new, when they have followed their creators and they're satisfied with their home page, it will be positive all the way down. Going into the future, Odyssey is going to gain more and more. People are going to be rewarded by watching shows that they didn't think could happen on YouTube anymore, and they'll see that the creativity here is much more unleashed. Ariel Suarez has sent $25. Thank you so much. Steven Robinson is already on Entropy. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your support, or you can use the support button on Odyssey. Will there be an invasion of Ukraine next week? That is my question, because the US government is relaunching its propaganda that it had been doing last week and 2 weeks ago. It's like Russian invasion of Ukraine imminent, they say. They give 48 hours for people to leave. The English government has also given 48 hours for people to leave Ukraine. They say the invasion by Putin would start next week. So on Monday or Tuesday, we would have the beginning of the invasion. I don't know what to believe here. I tend to believe that if the US government tells me something, it's the opposite of reality. But, I mean, they've been so aggressively pushing this, I have to give also the possibility that maybe Putin will get tired and will invade Ukraine. I mean, if you were telling me, JF, don't invade this country, JF is about to invade this country, JF, I think he's thinking about invading this country, I'd be like, you know what? Invade this fucking country. Steven Robinson says, I was watching the show last night on a desktop version of Odyssey, as I regularly do, and screen was cut in half, nose up, was all I could see. The chat worked. Now the chat won't work, and I see you nose up. Well, personally, I see no problem. So I guess, what kind of browser are you using? I would recommend using Google Chrome. And also emptying your cache, because Odyssey has updated its CSS styles, and so if you're still running on the old CSS style and you haven't refreshed, sometimes part of the website will be the old version that's caged in your Google Chrome, and some of the version will be new. So to avoid this bug, refresh everything. Potentially use a different browser, and I'm sure you'll find a way to fix this. And also update your browser if FD says, looks really good on the Brave browser. So Brave is also an option. Russian teen sentenced to 5 years in prison for Minecraft-linked terrorism. Do you remember the meme? One moment, I have to cough. Do you remember the meme where people wanted to say something violent, but they knew that if they were to say it, it would be a ban, and so they were saying, in Minecraft. It's like, I would like to do this and that and this in Minecraft. And I was like, this is not gonna work. Well, in Russia, it didn't work. Nikita Uvarov planned to blow up a security service building after practicing on video game. So he was literally blowing up security buildings in Minecraft, but it was interpreted that he was doing so for the purpose of practicing to eventually blow up an actual security building. Well, now you get out of the Minecraft world. The Bias News says, US believes Putin has decided to invade Ukraine. Expect invasion to begin next week, NBC. So the US has been saying this, has said any day now. We've seen the stacking of tanks. And I mean, I'm looking at these tanks that are stacked at the border of Ukraine. And I'm like, okay, it would be bizarre if these tanks were there for any other reason than an invasion. Why would you want tanks in such an advanced position? But at the same time, here's a hypothesis. Putin knows that he can induce potentially billions of dollars of expenses just by looking like he's going to invade Ukraine. Is it possible that among his other strategies, such as pressuring economically the West, making the West dependent to his fuel supply, Western Europe, on top of it, cutting down on fertilizer supply to destabilize the markets of the food in Western Europe? And I'm not saying these things like Putin is evil. This is not what I'm saying. But definitely there is an economic struggle here happening. And so is it possible that on top of it, Putin would have decided, hey, it's very low cost for me to take these tanks here, put them at the border of Ukraine, Biden is going to go nuts, he's going to be alarmed, and he's going to spend billions of dollars moving planes and all sorts of material across the ocean to support Ukraine, and all it would have cost me is to just move some tanks on land, which is much cheaper. Is it possible that this is part of a pressure strategy and a strategy to throw the US into crazy expenses, but that he does not intend to invade? That would be very possible, especially since this supposed information that's been given that Putin has decided to invade Ukraine, that is their statement. He has warned his army generals, he has communicated within the army, prepare for an invasion of Ukraine, this is what we're going to do. Is it possible that Putin is trolling here? I mean, he could very well launch these preparation order from inside the army just to continue pushing the US intelligence into a false narrative. It would not be beyond him. You know, he's been playing around the trolling culture of the internet. So it's possible that he's trolling from inside Russia here. I guess that would be one of my hypotheses. I'm not telling you I'm sure that Putin will not invade Ukraine. But why would he be so obvious about it if he was really going to do it? That is the question. Rodita Sid says, I think this intelligence about... One moment. I think this intelligence about Putin and Ukraine is like the Steele dossier, created by some intelligence agency in order to change the news cycle away from the truckers in Canada. It is possible. I don't like these interpretations of, you know, they want to drag attention away from things A, B, C. I hear this narrative so often, and never is there any evidence for this, so it's like impossible to support. It's just thrown like this. And also, is this a problem for the elites of this world to control the media narrative? is there so much strength in our independent media that the only thing they could do is drag attention away through other events? I don't think so. I think the media, at least the mainstream media, which covers a massive amount of audience, is capable of driving the narrative independently from distractions and red herring. So normally I never endorse that kind of interpretation, but it's a possible one. US deploys nuclear-ready B-52 bombers to UK with eye on Russia. Despite repeated warnings from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky that the US is driving the rise of tensions at Ukraine's eastern border, the US Air Force has deployed four B-52 bombers with nuclear capabilities to the UK, where one official acknowledged that the deployment is at least partially connected to Russia's recent military activities. This is stunning to me. If that is correct, and if the intelligence is correct, and if there is indeed an invasion of Ukraine, we may be seeing a first war where nuclear bombs could be regularly used. I mean, there you go. You know, the US is preparing itself to be able to throw nuclear bombs, or at least nuclear-ready planes, wherever they like. Firestarter says B-52s are useless today. Way too slow to get through anti-air missiles. Okay, well, I don't know about these technicalities, but it's fascinating to consider that a nuclear war could be on the brink of happening. Although I've been disappointed in the past. I've been thinking that it could happen, and it never happens. Two B-52 Startro Fortress aircraft arrived at Royal Air Force Fairford on Thursday, with two more following. The bombers integrated with other NATO members' forces en route to Fairford, according to the Air Force, including British Typhoon aircraft and Portuguese F-16s currently assigned to NATO Icelandic Air Policing Mission. The U.S. military downplayed the deployment, saying it was a long-planned bomber task force mission. But one UK defense source told The Telegraph, is this aligned to current tensions? Yes and no. According to The Telegraph, a former British intelligence official noted that the Pentagon could launch airstrikes from Fairford as it has before. They could operate against a range of target troop concentrations in southern Russia and Belarus, Moscow, St. Petersburg, even the naval bases in the White Sea. Okay, DK Shadow says the B-52 can deploy weapons far behind enemy AA. Okay, interesting plane. I don't know anything about military strategy. War Drums, new US intel suggests Russia invasion of Ukraine is imminent. According to US intelligence, Russia is preparing to invade Ukraine before the end of the Winter Olympics. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told reporters on Friday that Russian military forces are in position to be able to mount a major military action and urged American citizens in Ukraine to leave as soon as possible. They would have 48 hours from now to do so. We obviously cannot predict the future. We don't know exactly what is going to happen, but the risk is now high enough and the threat is now immediate enough that leaving is prudent. Okay, so they are not fully convinced. Fresh panic porn. Russia dismisses those claims, though. Distraction and disinformation, they say. Despite the as-usual contradictory messaging out of this administration, on the one hand serving up another dozen of afternoon panic and market turmoil, on the news Russia will invade Ukraine in a matter of days, it's been days and imminent for multiple weeks at this point, nothing seems to have actually changed on the ground at the Russia-Ukraine border, though Blinken has claimed the Russian troops have moved closer to the border. Multiple White House officials are currently telling various major U.S. news outlets that the U.S. now believes Putin has made the decision to attack Ukraine, though in a public news briefing, Jake Sullivan still presented a confused picture. On the one hand, telling U.S. citizens to exit Ukraine immediately, as a military offensive is nigh, but on the other, cautioning he's still not sure Putin has made the final decision. Rodi Lassid says, how accurate and how faithful have U.S. intel been recently? Need to see more proof. Yeah, it boils down to this, the rate of success of this intel, you can see it as 0% or 100%, depending on what's the function of the intel. The U.S. intelligence community has been 0% right on finding the truth, but it's been 100% correct at identifying countries that eventually would be attacked by the U.S. So if that's the goal, if that's the goal of the so-called intelligence, then we can see this intelligence as successful, and then we could predict that what is imminent is an invasion of Russia or some kind of attack of Russia by the US. Because think about the weapons of mass destruction. This intel comes out and then, oh yeah, we have to hit Iraq because weapons of mass destruction. Oil soars, rubble, stocks tumble on report US believes Putin will launch horrific, bloody invasion of Ukraine next week. So the oil market has been responding, and in general, the commodity market has been responding extremely positively because, of course, if an actual war happens, things become rarer, and the military on top adds to the demand, and so commodities are rising. Meanwhile, Telegram has been involved in censorship. Telegram is often seen as the place to go for dissident thinkers and people who would be banned elsewhere. However, we learned that Telegram has suspended 64 channels after a request from the German Federal Ministry of the Interior and the Federal Criminal Police Office. Telegram is compromised. That's why I never really, you know, people were saying, JF, it's happening on Telegram. You have to post regularly on Telegram. I don't know if I want to post on an everyday basis on Telegram. Long term, you know, Gab is in a better position technologically than even Telegram. Because ultimately, Telegram is an international business. So it's going to have to respond to how governments treat them. My impression is that Andrew Tarba does not give a shit about Germans and the German government. My impression is that when Andrew Tarba receives a letter from the German government, he laughs his ass off. And so I think that Gab is still the most secure place because it's the only place that is fully hosted in the US. And so the worst that these countries could do is kind of attack the domain name and ask their name servers to stop responding to the requests. And really, there would be ways out for anyone in these countries. But it is my impression that Tarba will never kneel to that kind of stuff. Who knows? Maybe he will. Maybe he will. But I don't particularly trust Telegram. It seems that Telegram had the technology to do a genuine peer-to-peer, non-centrally controlled thing. However, it seems they have not used this technology to a large extent, because you can go in your settings and set, for example, your phone conversations can be fully peer-to-peer or they can be fully centralized. And so there's still a central control on Telegram. And, you know, it happened that some people were coming to spam my Telegram group with pictures, and I got a message from Telegram saying you have to moderate your channel better or we're going to delete it. So to me, it's a sign that Telegram has not put itself in a situation to not be censoring. This is so disappointing to me, because having a true decentralized option for the web, for social media, is possible, and it exists even, but there's no way to have people move to these things. People always move to centralized websites partly because they perform better and they're more pleasant to interact with. But one day we're going to have to do with social media exactly what's been done with Library and Odyssey. Library and Odyssey are super strong on the hosting of video. That's wonderful. But eventually we're going to have a truly decentralized solution that no one can do anything about. On the blockchain. Playrome says, post is cool. Yes, I've been exploring these things. I've not been super strongly informed about how they work technologically. But I know that the technology is out there. I know that decentralized social media is possible. But see, Andrew Tarba said when they tried implementing on Gab Mastodon thing, it wasn't working. Yeah, PocketNet is an option out there, but see, no one moves to PocketNet. I had a PocketNet. I actually lost the account. My seeds are probably written somewhere, but I lost control of the account, so that's too bad. I would have to check if I have written on paper the seeds somewhere. But yeah, anyways, no one was responding to my PocketNet post because these things are too slow and they end up not being attractive to the mass of people. Plerom says it's the same that Truth Social will be based on, a Mastodon fork, yay. Yeah, we learned that Truth Social was actually based because there was a release, a kind of test release of Truth Social, and some people tested it and realized that it's basically a Mastodon instance again, just like Gab was at some point. I don't know if they still are, but it seems that Andrew Tarba has moved back to centralized control simply because he says it wasn't scaling. But if it's not scaling, good luck, Donald Trump. If Truth Social is not able to scale, if your Mastodon gets blocked, you know, you don't want to have a Mastodon blocked by too much demand, too much requests. I don't know. Have they properly tested the scalability of it? I would expect that Trump can hire some competent people, but who knows? You know, Trump has been failing at delivering before. But that's what Trump has been doing forever. He stamps his name on something that already exists. Plerom says he defederated because people were bullying him, I think. Okay, you think that Andrew Tarba is... That is an interesting thought. The idea that Andrew Tarba could be too weak to handle the trolls of the internet. If you're right, if that is true, big if true, because isn't he, in the end, the owner of the website that has the most trolls of the internet? If he can't handle trolling, then who can, really? Twigs is on Entropy. He sends a question. He says, I only use Telegram for crypto. They have found a good niche market. You should check out NKN for a decentralized messenger. Yes, I can check. I don't know about it. But very often people are mistaken. I don't need a messenger. I don't give a shit about messaging. I don't want friends. I want an outlet to the public, to you guys, the audience. That's very different. And that's where I'm kind of annoyed at Telegram, you know? Telegram has still not evolved into its truly interesting function, which is not to be a messenger. Like, I see on the left of my Telegram right now, I have these icons, and some of them are people, some of them are my channel, some of them are channels, some of them are DMs, some of them are... I don't know, kind of phone number or whatever. It's like Telegram has always been on the fence in between a messenger service like ICQ and a Twitter-like place where people have channels. It hasn't evolved past this yet. It hasn't clearly divided these two things so that I can know what I'm doing. It's actually very hard for me. Let's say I go on Keith Woods Telegram. How do I message Keith Woods? It seems I can't. And like people are like, yeah, JF, it's easy. t.me/Keith Woods. Okay, here I am at t.me/Keith Woods. That's a channel. I can't even find from there a place where I can click to open a DM to Keith Woods. Not that I absolutely want to speak to Keith Woods, but it's like your interface sucks. That's your problem. And on top of it, now you're submitted to the German government. I mean, who knows? Once this is done, who knows how many governments now will be writing to Telegram? Am I a problem for the Canadian government? Am I a problem for the Ukraine government? Maybe. What changed? Last night, Ontario Premier reportedly said he was going to drop vaccine mandates, but today he declares a state of emergency. What a difference a day makes. Last night, it looked like Ontario's Premier Doug Ford was going to side with the Freedom Convoy protest on the streets, but this morning he announced that he is going to declare a state of emergency while threatening the protesters. It seems that the politicians are very annoyed at this protest, which by my standard tells me this trucker protest is working. It has leverage. The blockade of the bridge seems to be successful. The blockade of Ottawa seems to be relatively successful. There is an intimidation going on, but the leverage is still there. And it seems that they are using rotation tactics where it's not always the same truck staying in place. There are trucks aligning. They are joining the protest. They're then driving away. I think that's the best way to go. That way, you always have plausible deniability. You should always be driving your truck and saying, nah, I'm trying to get to the McDo right there. I'm just driving my truck, just. But right now I can't go forward. It's like, oh, the McDo is there. I can't drive there. So, yeah, I know I'm blocking the street. I'm just waiting for the traffic to be gone so I can get to the McDo. This is how it should be. Children in Las Vegas jump from their seats and cheer after they find out Democrat mask mandates were lifted. This is worrying. It's worrying that in 2022, we have children that happy to be liberated from government ridiculous impositions. I mean, it's heartwarming and everything. Look, we're going to look at the video. I mean, there's a. This is me when I was 9 years old. It's like, guys, leave me alone. I'm trying to learn function object oriented programming. Can you please shut the fuck up? And there were people around me like, yeah.
Tomorrow we don't have to wear masks anymore.
Look at no, that's not a kind of face I would have done. But look, he's going to return to a neutral face very soon. Okay, so see, it was like, ah, okay, I'm happy, no mask. All right, let's go back to programming. Hello, Mama JF, what's up?
No, it's like in 1984, uh-huh. When they are so happy about Orwell, and they are all, like, celebrating, like...
Yes, they celebrate any kind of breadcrumbs you can throw at them. The thing is, it should have never happened. Oh, it should have never been the case that these children have masks like this.
This is so scary. The future will watch this and they will be like, this is a sick society.
You think so? You think what? I think the future will be even more authoritarian.
Oh my God.
I think the future will look at this scene and they'll be like, oh, here's one child unmasked here. She's not wearing on her nose. But yeah, there will be a time when liberty comes back and then they will look back at it with horror.
I hope so.
And yeah, I mean, it's a bizarre environment. The public school with children yelling like this, I don't know. Doesn't seem to be a very pleasant place to be for the mind. See, this guy is already back to his programming. This guy is a future scientist, I'm telling you. He's gonna discover something great, but then people won't engage with him, so what function is there for it? Three Canadian border crossings now blocked as Freedom Convoy protest spread. Canadian truckers and protesters demonstrating against COVID-19 restrictions have now jammed up several border crossings. So we have the bridge, we have the Alberta crossing, I think there are two there. The Blue Water Bridge, the city of Windsor has announced that it is seeking a court order to remove the demonstrators from the bridge. Windsor Mayor Drew Dilkins said the city plans to take its case before a judge with the hope of clearing the roadway. But the question is, if there are a significant amount of trucks, it's going to be a logistical nightmare. Hopefully, there can be a high enough number of trucks that it becomes impossible at some point to just tow them away. Chain Reaction says, holy fuck, that girl just looks better and better. JF, you dog. Yes, I'm very lucky to be with Mama JF. I love her very much. It's been a wonderful life we have set for ourselves here. And I'm extremely happy and I feel extremely lucky to be with her. Nearly a dozen states flout CDC guidelines and ditch COVID mask mandates. The number of US states that have decided to ditch mask restriction in defiance of the CDC's official guidelines, which have barely budged since the start of the pandemic, has risen to 12, as more governors recognize the political necessity of allowing Americans to try and return to some semblance of normalcy. I think the CDC is stuck in a trap here, which is they've been standing for this, for these guidelines to be so good for so long. If they were to stop them now, they'd be like, they would be get called out. It's like, why did the deaths 1 year ago matter that much and the deaths today don't matter that much? So they're kind of waiting for a perfect situation where there would be close to zero death. It's not going to happen, you crazy sons of bitches. Because you guys have been remarketing the fucking flu. You've been remarketing, you've been rebranding something that has always been with us. Like, not just the flu, but the general idea of respiratory disorders and the fact that they spread. The common cold, the rhinoviruses, the coronaviruses, the influenza viruses. Now that you've rebranded this, you are stuck with your rebrand. You cannot abandon it. And any future flu, any future waves of viruses will be an opportunity to call you out. To call you out on, hey, why don't we wear masks in 2025 when the next flu wave happens? It seems that there are as many deaths of pneumonia and other ailments. So they're stuck, they've stuck themselves in a position where the only consequence that's possible, where they keep their coherence, is that every year up until the end of time, the boot of CDC stomps onto your face until infinity. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, will there be some sort of accountability for these Fauci types ever? The answer is no. The only accountability that will come is when the entire system gets reverted. There will be random events directed at people. It will not be like a trial of Fauci. This won't ever happen. However, if ever the system crumbles as a whole, there will be mass and general events that will be unfortunate happening to those who have operated that system. And these mass unfortunate, unlucky events might go in the sense that you would expect a trial to go, might result in the punishment of the people who have been operating this fraud, but it won't be due process. I can guarantee that. We have a new responsible of nuclear fuel disposals and they call it the Department of Wasted Fuels, and he happens to be a LGBT person who enjoys treating other human beings as dogs. He has he has been extremely involved in promoting this lifestyle where you are carrying men around you as dogs for the purpose of humiliating them and eventually having sex with them. Yeah, why not? You know, at this point, this guy will be handling the nuclear waste. By the way, I've learned that France is expanding its nuclear production capacities in terms of electricity, energy. I'm very happy about this. I totally support nuclear expansion. So I'm happy that France will be generating even more electricity from this mean, but in the US it's taking a different turn. I don't know, will this guy spend half of his time pushing nuclear narratives and then half of his time pushing LGBT narratives and stuff, or dog kinks? I don't know. Eyes of the world are on us. Ontario declares state of emergency over the bridge blockade. Ontario declared a state of emergency Friday morning to empower law enforcement to end the blockade of the Ambassador Bridge, the busiest commercial border crossing between the US and Canada, and the Freedom Convoy in Ottawa, warning truckers who continue to block the Ambassador Bridge, they will be punished if they don't leave. Ontario Premier Doug Ford told reporters that the federal government is enacting new powers to end the blockade. He said protesters will be slapped with hefty fines amounting to $78,800 and jail time, according to Bloomberg. So what we're looking at here is the system reacting in the way you would expect, which is they want to deprive people of their property. So they're going to say, oh, well, we're slapping you with a $78,000 of fine. Oh, you don't have the money to pay this? Well, we're going to take your truck. So at this point, it's getting hot for the truckers who are in position defending our liberties. They will have to pay with their own property. They will have to risk their own existence and the existence of their money and their means of production, which is their truck. So be careful. Don't do anything stupid. Try to be intelligent about it. But in the end, it's going to boil down to this. In the end, if your blockade is effective, the government will go at you and they will repossess your stuff. To a certain extent, you know, I've made similar sacrifices. It was never a protest, but in a way, by choosing the dissident thinker lifestyle, I've been depriving myself of opportunities to the point where I can never dream of, you know, having lots of money, having even the money to buy a truck like this. I will never be able to do that because I chose a lifestyle of protest against a certain system, which is the mediatic system. And in a way, the truckers are choosing to a dissident lifestyle to protest against injustices and vaccine mandates in this case. I hope they have the courage, but I also they need also to understand that the system will not take this lightly. The system will deprive them of property. They will target them. They will oppress them, and they will eventually jail them if they are continuously successful. But that's the nature of leverage. There's no political win without suffering. There's no political, you know, political combat and leverage of that kind is ultimately a war of attrition. And it's how much suffering you can take and how much the system can take. There was no other outcome possible. The other outcome would have been that the protests would fizzle out and everyone would return home and no one would get punished. But that's an outcome in which there is no victory. To win, you have to be willing to sacrifice everything. So choose now, truckers. Justed says, okay, Mama JF, once you make your meme post, it for here. Oh, Mama JF is launching a career in mimetics.
Yes.
What meme do you want to produce?
I want to put the little children video, and you put the other clip I put there.
What is the other clip?
Can you show this, or is the copyright?
Okay, Mama JF clip. Let's see if I... Okay, it's 1984. Well, we can show it, but we're going to have to pause and comment on every 10 seconds.
More in the middle.
More in the middle, like here.
Yes.
So right here?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, so that was a scene in which people were happy to kind of be liberated, or
yes,
kind of the system was telling them, oh yeah, you're gonna get one banana a week, and okay, I see. This guy is evaluating just how happy they are about the regime. And...
Oh, really?
Yeah, by the way, we never watched 1984. We should watch this tonight. It seems absolutely relevant. Yeah, that would be a meme of some value.
Okay.
I think the for a meme to catch on, you need to have a kicker to it. I see the parallel totally relevant here. Now, what would be the kicker of this meme? Maybe the order. Maybe you should start with 1984 and then at the bottom. Riding the Tiger says, this scene is the 2 minutes of hate scene. Okay. White Wolf says, the movie 1984 is pretty bad, but the book is great. All right, well, we'll see. Yeah, I never heard any positive review of 1984 as a movie. Chain Reaction says, brilliant how he played the victim in 1984, then the dictator in V for Vendetta. The actor, I don't know him. Stephen Robinson is on Entropy. He says, the Hex community, along with Richard himself on Twitter, have been warning about high levels of spam on Telegram, even going as far as going through the setting to make sure you are set up properly. Okay. All right, what else do we have on the news? EU investigates reports of menstrual disorders following Pfizer and Moderna COVID-19 vaccination, as we first reported last year. The European Medicines Agency's Risk Assessment Committee announced on Friday that it would review reports of menstruation irregularities after thousands of women have been reporting changes to their monthly cycle after getting the COVID vaccine. This is super worrying, and I've been talking about it when it came out, but finally we have an agency of the public investigating this. It's like, yeah, it's about time. At this point, you've injected so many people. Really, what you discover wouldn't matter. There would be no way out. It's like, if you've caused damage with this, it's too late to fix it. But yeah, extremely worrying that so many women have been injected, women who may think they never want children, and then they're like, okay, I'm going to take the jab. Or even some women who, as part of the whole process of interacting with their gynecologist, you know, they get told, well, you're pregnant, you know, I want you to be safe, get the vaccine. It's like, we don't have that good of an understanding of what happens with the reproductive system with this vaccine. It's a new technology. Why would you do this? But it's the whole pressure that has built around hospitals and around the doctors who have chosen to serve the regime. Absolutely disgusting. Who knows? You know, to have a disbalance of your menstrual cycle, you're not going to have me believe that this is just, oh, it's just this. There's no way to debalance the menstrual cycle without doing something else. You're probably affecting the hormone cycles. Who knows what it will result in terms of ability to have babies going forward. Like, if the vaccine was just to reduce the chance of insemination of your eggs by 20%, that would be dramatic. There would be some people failing to have babies just because of this. Chain Reaction says, comedian laughs, her menstruation is fine after the jab, then passes out, lol. Yeah, I've reviewed that video 2 or 3 days ago on the show when it came out. Those darn Americans and their freedom, says Lauren Chen. Justin Trudeau is speaking live and laying the blame for these blockades at the feet of US citizens. He says that the blockades are filled with Americans. Americans are funding them, and everything is on the table to end it. So Justin Trudeau had... The US says, oh, the Trump partisans are really puppets of Russia. And then Justin Trudeau is like, oh yeah, the Canadian trucker convoy, they're really being manipulated by the Americans. It's like, you would get a full circle of this if someone, I guess, in Russia was to accuse the proponents of the war with Ukraine as puppets of Justin Trudeau. That would be the full circle. By the way, we've learned that the Give Send Go campaign is being targeted by the Canadian judiciary. They've not been successful. What's happening is that a court order has been given in Ontario that says the transmission of these donations at the Give, Send, Go to any sort of activity related to the protest and to the officials in charge of the protest is illegal. So that would mean a bank, for example, in Canada would have to refuse to transmit the money or allow them to spend the money or get the money to them in any way. However, Give, Send, Go has been publishing on their Gab, and they said, just know that the Canadian system has no jurisdiction whatsoever on us because we are an American company. And so thankfully, they have not been intimidated. Now, this still complicates stuff on the side of the campaign. How will they get this money to truckers? It appears that they have started an incorporated version of their corporation in America. So it would be an American bank. However, you know, the Canadian and the American system of banks, although they have the theoretical capability, if they are truly in America, they could say, you know, we don't respect Canadian law. But very often, the American banks and the Canadian banks will just kneel to the jurisdictions that they don't have to kneel to. So hopefully they've figured this out, and perhaps some people were suggesting that this will all go through Bitcoin funds. That would be a total viable solution indeed, to pass it through Bitcoin and then to slowly trickle it down to the causes that are dear to the truckers in Canada. Hopefully they will be successful at this, but certainly this decision by a judge in Ontario will complicate things. And it will also allow the governments to then come back and say, oh, you passed those Bitcoins that way to this person, and so you violated the court order. And so this is our money now. So they're going hard in terms of seizing money, seizing funds, seizing trucks, eventually stacking fines onto the truckers until they have to give up. Hopefully the truckers will have their courage unaffected by these strategies. Meanwhile, I think that the general public will find these tactics more and more disgusting as it goes forward. You know, at this point, we've had truckers threatened by journalists suggesting that their kids should be kidnapped by child protective services. We've had them deprived of property. We have had them threatened of arrest. We've had them, their fuel has been stolen and then returned. It's rough, and I don't think Canadians looking at this, if they can have access to this information, if their media is not brainwashing them too much, or if they have access to alternative media that does cover this, hopefully the Canadians will be disgusted here. The Canadian people is a very weak people, you know, it doesn't take much to move them to being sympathetic toward the truckers. Chain Reaction sends a link. Is this woman right about the organizers? Well, okay, you send me a video of 30 minutes. I don't have time to watch it tonight. I can pay attention if you send me a DM about it and explain it to me, but not live here. Patricius says we should secretly ship in gold physically. That's carrying gold around is not very practical and subject to theft. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, how long before Justin declares the Canadian flag a symbol of hate? Or the Canadien of Montreal? I don't think there is any chance. The sports team are pretty much within the system, let me tell you. Justet says, every tactic the Canadian government and judges are using now to seize donated funds online will be used on all Canadians once the government changes the cash system to a central bank digital currency. Sure. And that's why we develop a parallel economy. That's why we trust Bitcoin. We want Bitcoin to be successful. That is the only solution. disclosed that TV reports that today a Twitter outage has been happening. I'm happy it's happening. This platform should go down into the mud. I'm looking at the Twitter stock price. It's been in free fall for months now. Look at this. This is the whole year, 1 year. Free fall from points like 77 down to half the value at 35. It's time for Twitter to go. I hope that further technical problems will happen and that eventually Twitter will not exist anymore. They've been censoring us. They've been shutting down everything that disagrees with the regime. They've been favoring the leftist on their platform. It is no more a place of free engagement. Body cam footage shows Capitol Police tracking unconscious Trump supporter who died on January 6. I will not show the video, but basically we see that the person who died on January 6, I'd be surprised if that person didn't die as a result of these hits that were given. There's a policeman, a policewoman, just hitting her with a baton of some kind. It looks to me like this officer here is responsible for killing this person. Yet you're not going to have a case a la Derek Chauvin because the races are inverted. But if Derek Chauvin committed any crime, then certainly this person committed a crime. She's just hitting on the person while she's on the floor, not constituting a threat. How is it possible in this society that Derek Chauvin is in jail, but that this girl is not in jail? Well, it's possible in the leftist world where your race matters if a crime gets committed against you. Biden admin already backtracking on ISIS leader raid story details. U.S. military officials told reporters on Thursday that there could have been more civilian casualties than initially thought in the recent special operation. Sources said at least 13 people were killed instead of the wife, the two children, and the general. Look, I could smell this from miles away. On the day it happened, they were like, oh, you know, children have died, but that's just because of the decision of this ISIS leader to blow himself up. He just blew himself up out of nowhere. My impression is that this is similar to the case where you shot a caravan with children in it. You're essentially attacking families in the Middle East. And then you're like, oh, yeah, well, the intel was good, but you don't know what you're doing. You're just killing random people. You're attacking families. Please stop. You're too incompetent to do this warring, this kind of intelligent, targeted wars. Stop it, American government. You're killing children. People will hate you for generations down the line for the crazy stuff you've been doing. So that is it for tonight, boys. We have one last news item. Shocked Tesla owners discover supercharger station robbed of its charging cable. That is one big problem. You have, you know, these cables. And they are available and they have to carry a lot of electricity. So they contain a lot of copper. He says, that's definitely vandalism. Since the cables are missing, I'm guessing it's someone looking to sell the copper for scrap. Well, we're going to have to find a solution to this. Maybe cameras, I don't know. But there's just too much value being publicly available there without any way to protect it. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you so much for joining me. I now have filled the calendar. So if you wonder when will the show happen, because we now have a less regular schedule, you can always go to calendar.jfg.world, and this will give you, is the show tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, or is it at 9 p.m. Eastern Time? So what will happen is that the show will be at 7 p.m. Eastern time regularly, 5 days a week. And only on Wednesdays and Thursdays will I have to move it to 9 p.m. Eastern time. So that is the new schedule. It's I know that I've been oscillating on this. I wasn't sure what were my obligations, but I figured something out where we will only have 2 days a week at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and those will be Wednesday and Thursday. Otherwise, we're back to the 7 p.m. Eastern time schedule. You can always go to the calendar or go to jfg.world. The calendar is displayed at the bottom of the website. We will have our monthly Patreoning out on Tuesday. That's 9 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll have a regular show before at 7 p.m. Eastern time. On Thursday, there will be no show because I've scheduled a modern day debate. Someone wants to debate me about race and policing, so I'll be taking the stance that that there is no problem of racism, of institutionalized racism in the police, but rather what we have is the police arrest criminals, and the groups in America differ in their frequency of engaging in criminal behavior. So that will be on Thursday the 17th. On the 15th, we have our monthly private hangout. Join the Patreon and subscribe star if you want to be part of it. And on Friday the 18th, we have Ray Fleming. Someone has been asking that I invite this guy. And for those of you who are suggesting guests on the show, I try for all of them, and some of them respond, some of them don't. Ray Fleming has accepted to come. He's a physicist who's been developing a theory called the zero-point universe. He sent me his books and stuff, so I'll be able to read about it. I think it seems very interesting. So this is going to be on Friday the 18th. Other than this, well, I'm contacting guests constantly, and we'll see if other guests are sweeping in into some slots, but otherwise it will be 7 p.m. Eastern time every day, except only on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Much love. See you all tomorrow.